Hello there.
Hi.
Welcome to the Love Bite.
Welcome. Wait. Everyone needs to know how fucking gorgeous you look.
Oh.
Like, fuck, dude.
You just looked at my boobs.
Well, yeah, because you were talking about your boobs, but like, just, God, I don't want to eat you up. Like, you just look so good. I was driving you guys to find parking, and I saw her walking down the street, and I was like, what the fuck? What the fuck?
I match your car. Well, not quite.
God, but you match my fucking dreams.
That's right. She said that, people. That's, wow.
What?
Well, thank you. That's not what the show's about. First off, I want to apologize that this show is not last week.
Hell no.
I don't know if we're ever going to be able to match Kinkapalooza. That was fucking awesome.
It was.
That was
amazing.
Wow. And you know what? And yet 2 hours, I don't think it was enough. We could have done more. We could have done more. Could have used another top in here. I'll be honest about that.
Well, no, Fauna was here.
Yeah, no, she was great.
She was great.
She was great. Like actually topping.
Oh, I don't know.
That's my thing.
Yeah. But you know what, though? I realized, like, I think maybe they would have let her top them if they knew each other, like, previously.
Agreed.
You know.
Agreed. But today.
Today,
we're going to talk about, we're going to get back to some cerebral stuff, guys, because we're multifaceted.
Let's face it, this particular topic, that shit's all in the fucking head.
You know, it should be, but I think a lot of people don't. A lot of people behave it. And so people want to know what we're talking about. We're talking about tease and denial, orgasm control, and chastity. I'm going to, did a presentation on this for one of our femdom groups, and I'm going to read an actual quote from the Wikipedia, so y'all just need to go with that so that you can understand kind of what we're starting with. Tease and denial is a massive subject which crosses into multiple areas of dominance and submission. It is a general term used to describe any technique that involves the sexual stimulation of a person to cause intense arousal without climax. It is usually practiced for the express purpose of creating powerful feelings of sexual frustration and pleasure in the person being stimulated by singly or repeatedly bringing the subject to the brink of orgasm without actually causing orgasm.
Man, or in other words, torture. Yes? Okay, good.
Torture, schmorture. You're so loving it.
Well, yeah. I mean, no, it's good.
Right?
Yeah.
It is.
Because then, like, when eventually, you're hoping eventually, you give me that look, because then that makes me feel like I'm going to wait an eternity. But, like, eventually, like, when it all, like, comes to fruition, it's, like, that much better.
Yeah, the moment you need to be really scared is when I'm like, yeah, just bring my Hitachi back. You don't need that.
Hey, now. Hey, you person.
Me?
With the tits and all of that.
I feel like I need to cover them up.
Fuck no, please don't. Please don't.
Boobies.
Objectifying the mistress.
So cleavage could be tease and denial. You know, you could be like, these are my boobies and you cannot have them. My boobies. Wherever I go, you go. Nobody remembers that unless you're as old as I am.
I'm going to put my chair down so that way the monitor that's in front of me conveniently covers your tits.
Ah, so it's not distracting.
Yeah.
This is wise. Mm-hmm. Well, first off, I'm going to ask you a question.
Oh, dear.
Tell me, what have you experienced with the tease and denial?
My experiences with tease and denial have been with you.
Mm-hmm.
And they're very... I don't know. Like, it's strange because I feel like your delivery of that is very different with a female than it would be with a male.
Agreed. Wholeheartedly.
Right. I think that with me, it's always in the head. Like, there is no nothing going down because obviously my arousal does not show.
I also don't usually make you edge.
No. I think if that happens, it's like all me and by accident.
Where you deny yourself, it's not you, it's just that your body says it ain't happening.
Yeah, exactly. Or a knock on the fucking door, just saying.
That's the worst.
Yeah. But it's something that it keeps me on the edge. You know, this kind of like, it's going to happen. And or is it? I don't know. Will I get to smell her pussy juices this week? Who the fuck knows? Who knows? It is Yeah, it's
hit or miss.
Yeah, it is. It is. That. And even if, and even when the week goes by and I didn't get it, it's not like, well, fuck this shit, I'm done. No, because then I always keep thinking, well, maybe next week.
That's awesome.
That's where my head is.
I love that. That's very, very awesome.
Shut up.
I had a D type who, you know, he asked me, he's like, you know, do you ever tease and deny yourself? And I said, fuck no. Why the fuck would I do that?
I'm sorry, what?
He asked me if I tease and denied myself.
I'm trying to understand how you would even do that.
Edge.
Okay.
You know, like edging.
Okay.
Edging. And
yeah,
then,
why would you do that?
Right. Well, some people actually enjoy edging. Some people actually enjoy it. Not me. But one of the things that he said that was very interesting is he likes to use it as a tool for prepping the pussy for whatever play is going to happen.
Okay.
And I'm like, well, okay, I guess. I mean, I'm seeing as I need to experience this edging thing so I can like understand it. By the way, that's never going to happen.
No.
I'm just not going to do that. That's just, it seems like such a waste of time and energy. I'll just be like, fuck it. Maybe I'll edge next time. Every single time I'll say, maybe I'll edge next time, which is why I'd be the worst submissive on the planet. Right. But that was a really interesting concept that, and I can see how, you know, you could edge somebody to getting them, you know, fired up to a point, whatever you want to play with them, whatever it is you're going to do. And to a degree, you and I do that. I do that with you. Like we're getting ready for a play party or we're getting ready for whatever. And there's times when I'm preparing and I'm kind of, you see the look in my face when I'm packing my toy bag.
I don't know if you've noticed this, but whenever I'm at your house and you make any mention about you going to pack your toy bag, I leave the room. I stay downstairs. And it's not because you've asked me to. I just do that to myself because I like that like anticipation. I wonder what she's packing. I wonder what she's going to use tonight. Well, she's probably going to pack all these things. She's not even going to use all of them. And she's just going to pack them so that way I could see them and stuff.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, and I'm probably, it's probably is not even like all of that. Because I mean, you've said it before, like you like to take as much as you can. And then that way, when you're there, you lay it out and you use whatever you're going to use.
Yep.
It's, you know, there's not a whole lot of, you know, superstructure to the scene.
Yeah, no, I'm an OCD obsessive, you know, anal person's nightmare because I just, whatever, just going to go with the flow. But for example, you were there when I packed the toy bag for Kinkapalooza.
Yes. That
and
was different.
It was different because I would look at something and I would look at you and go, and then I would pack it.
Yeah.
And I would be like, and I would look at, but the funny thing is, what the interesting thing is that I didn't look at you at all for the toys specifically that I used.
Right.
Yeah. Like the plastic wrap and the duct tape and the clamps and all that kind of stuff. I didn't look at you for any of that.
No.
No. Because I was like, this shit's going to fucking happen. Bitch don't know what's going to go on.
That should happen again.
I like the chair for that, by the way. That was very nice.
Shouldn't you fucking dizzy?
Right. But for me, you know, kind of the tease and denial component or even just the teasing and the building up to speak to that other dominance term that they wanted to prepare them for play.
Mm-hmm.
It all the way goes up to the scene where there's you're getting your submissive ready by the words that you say, by the way that you say them, by the way that you touch them or don't touch them. You know, one of my favorite things to do is to, because you love your face to be slapped.
Mm-hmm.
Is to go up and just kind of touch your face lightly and be like, I'm going to pretend slap it and then just kind of gently caress it and then walk away. Drives you fucking crazy.
You know, this is going to be a very strange episode to do because I feel like you're giving me all the tricks of the trade. I mean, I'll probably forget like in a couple of days, but whatever.
But you won't care.
I won't care. No. But yeah, that's true. I do like that.
Right. Yeah, I know you do.
Because it teeters between like, oh, she's being all like lovey-dovey with me. And nope. No lovey-dovey. No lovey-dovey for you.
No soup for you.
Cuddle Nazi.
Yeah, but that's kind of one of the things that we do. I'm a cuddle Nazi. but the other kind of way is to do it. There's a lot. Obviously, edging is a big thing. And those of you who don't know what edging it is it's masturbation without orgasm for whatever duration or amount of time. Like, you would masturbate up to the point before orgasm and then stop. And hold on and hate your life. And then if you're told to edge again, you would do it again. Mm-hmm. So that's, you know, there's people that I have had people repeatedly edge, especially men, and then make them stop. Or I would, you know, give a directive to be like, you're going to edge five times today. You
know? But what happened? I mean, for a man, what happens like physiologically when he's edging and then like stop? Like, I mean, that seems like it would take a lot of practice to stop that load from coming.
Oh, you have to ask them. I'm not a guy. Ask them. People in studio.
What are you talking about?
We're talking about edging. Like when you... Listen,
you don't pay attention to the show.
No, I'm listening. That's why I was about to say edging. What do you mean?
Edging, where you masturbate up until the point of orgasm, but you don't orgasm. You stop before that.
I mean, you probably wouldn't do that because...
Blue balls?
Exactly.
So what does that feel like? Like down there in your junk? Like what happens?
Get up in on this. Jeremy's gonna tell you he's the pro. I'm just like very innocent.
Fuck you. Fuck you and your innocence.
You're on the wrong show, Nick.
So sometimes I'll do that purposely, because if you get right to that point and then you hold off and you wait a little bit, and then if you do that repeatedly, then finally when you come, it's really, really powerful and feels a lot better.
Yes. This is what people don't get. See, that's true. This is what people don't get. Tease and denial and edging is a gift. It's a gift from the dominant. I am a giver.
But okay, but you'll do that. Like, I mean, if you do that, it's all on the same night. It's not like you spread it out,
oh,
right?
Oh, yeah, no. I mean, it's...
It's a masturbation marathon.
It's in the same session. It's just...
Yeah.
And I won't do it all the time, but, you know, sometimes I'm in the mood to do that.
By the way, I'm totally thinking about Jeremy masturbating right now.
I mean,
wow. And that's the strangest thing I've ever had. I've never thought about that, and now I am.
Yep.
So this is going to take this drinking extravaganza that we're going to do it sometime. It's going to go a whole different place.
It'll be fantastic.
Great.
I want to have me some bourbon with Jeremy.
Yes.
Thank you so very much for
Thank you very much.
But see, now then what happens with the girl? I mean, like, because I'm the strange. So I feel like my experience is not like typical.
Well, every woman that I've spoken to, they've said that, you know, it's that whole, there's two different things. I mean, we've all been there where you want to have an orgasm and for whatever reason it's not happening. And for me, whenever that happens, it's because my brain's in the way. Like my brain is just not happening. And I'm like, motherfucker. So it's like I've teased and denied myself, which sucks. but for the women that have edge, that I've had made edge, they, you know, it's the same kind of thing. They get to the edge and then literally it's like their entire body clenches and they like hold on like as hard and as tight as they can. Number one, to not orgasm. And number two, because it sucks. It sucks to not have that release, that moment. And it kind of, you know, you feel shaky inside of you because you want to have this release and it's not happening. That's the best definition.
Yeah, but a woman that does that doesn't get like the same, like, how would Jeremy describe that glorious
I think they do.
End result?
No, I think they do. Think about it. Think about it.
I'm horrible. I'm a failure at being a woman.
Wow, says the lesbian. Okie dokes. I think that it's the same. I mean, number one, I think the male and the female orgasm are very different. I mean, in all of my conversations with people, because I go through like intense, you know me, I always like to ask, well, how does it feel? Explain this to me. And I try to get them to give me as clear a definition of what it feels like for them as possible, because I don't know, I'm weird. Sure. But from what I can gather, it does intensify because they've been spending however many hours essentially kind of teasing their body, getting their body kind of prepped and ready and prime, and they're very wet and they're very aroused and their nipples might be hard and their brain is like saturated in this thought and this experience of sex. So, you know, when you finally do get to it, imagine, just think about it just cerebrally, imagine how you would feel if you've, you know, gone through this like series of tension and then you're finally allowed to just let it go. You know, it can
like,
be...
Like exhaling.
Right. It can be like this huge, like, primal thing. You know, again, it depends. People are very different, as you well know. So, but that's part of it. Edging is great. You know, it's... You know, you have to let the S-type come at some point. You know, I know there's some chastity whores out there that'd be like, no, I'm fine if I'm caged up forever. And it's like, you know, no. Every so often, you know, it's good for you. For you to get out and have a little bit of the O, it's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't imagine somebody living in a cage. I mean, their junk being in a cage. I can imagine being in a cage, like a huge cage.
You want to live in a cage. That's where you want to go, with a little pillow pet, and you'll be happy. You know it. That's right. I painted the scene.
It would appear that we have a caller.
All right.
Oh.
Well, let's have this caller do the caller thing.
Yeah. What?
We always seem to skip at this caller point.
I know. It's horrible.
Hello. Welcome to the Love Bite.
Well, hello.
What do you have to say about this?
What do I have to say about this? I have a lot to say about this.
Then
are you kidding me? You wanted a guy's perspective, right?
Yeah, but do you
Well, I mean, you're getting one.
This is 8 we have on the phone.
Hi, everybody.
Do you edge?
Yeah, of course I do.
Oh, my. Let's hear.
This is exciting.
Well, I mean, you guys are talking about edging for the sake of edging, but there's another aspect to it you might want to consider, and that's almost like training.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
Because it's pretty typical, I mean, stereotypical anyway, for a guy to be like, wham, bam. And I think when you're alone and you're having that time, if you take the time to kind of edge, you teach yourself to do that. You teach yourself to know your own body enough and how you react. Then later on when you're with somebody, if you can pull off that same thing over and over and over again, that just makes the whole thing better.
Yeah, no, that's true. And for men that are in a quick draw McGraws, I have always said that, you know, they should try edging in order to kind of work through that. Yeah.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Okay, so you're way ahead of me. This call was pointless.
No, it was fantastic. No. And then we got to hear your great voice. So.
Yes, and now I am imagining you masturbating.
Yes, I think we should all imagine everybody masturbating today.
Mm-hmm. Anybody that brings up their cock, I would, it's, yeah.
He didn't bring up his cock, but
yeah,
you did. But, now you brought up his cock.
I brought up his cock because I've
seen
it. I'd
like to bring up his cock.
I've seen his penis, and I'm just like now, and I've seen his hand, so now I'm imagining his penis in his hand.
Well, there you go. Well,
so there's that. So thank you for that. And thanks. That's not scary. I'm not scared.
Thanks, hon. Have a good one.
I'm glad. All right, you guys. Have a good show.
You too, babe.
Bye.
Bye.
Yeah, so that's it. Today, I'm just going to have to think about it. You know, I'm going to think about more people masturbating today than I was even after our masturbation episode.
Wow.
And I don't think that because we didn't ask, like, we didn't get that information from Jeremy.
We didn't.
I feel, like, so close to him now. This is wonderful. I love this. So that's there's a lot of things that you could do in tease and denial. Because for me, number one, the biggest thing about tease and denial is that it has everything to do with the person. You can only tease them with something that works for them.
Right.
You know, if somebody has like no sensitivity in their nipples, teasing their nipples does nothing, right? But if they have super, super sensitive nipples, you tease them and then, you know, you stop and it's like, you know, it's tease and denial. Mm-hmm. It also, tease and denial is a really good kind of training method. Not in the way that 8 was speaking of, or training, you know, you to not come. But it's a good training mechanism in order to kind of create almost a Pavlovian response to certain things with a submissive.
Yes. Yes.
Right. You know, you can, if you do it enough in a consistent enough way, then you can get them to get immediately into a particular headspace by doing something once. It takes time. It takes devotion. And I'm not going to get into all of the details because it's very boring radio. But and it depends by person. But, you know, you can really get somebody in the right frame of mind immediately. I try one of the things that I do for that real quickly is I use my facial expressions. Like I can do like one facial expression and you're exactly where I need you to be in 2 seconds.
I'm just thinking about it and I'm already.
Right. Exactly, because through, you know, the course of our relationship, you've learned that means certain things.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the same thing for when you do kind of tease and denial. You tease somebody with something and you deny them. But if you do it in an effective way where you do actually deliver at some point, then it's like, oh, my God, they know that this could lead to somewhere. So they're going to keep, you know, allowing it to happen for like you, like maybe next week I get to smell the pussy juices, you know, that kind of thing. At some point, there's cheese.
And pouting doesn't work. Why?
Pouting, please. Please. But so what for me, to quickly discuss kind of the tease and denial, what works for teasing, you know, can be anal play. It can be making somebody read erotica or watch porn without touching themselves.
Oh, that's just cruel.
Right? It can be, you know, mummification. It can be electroplay. It can be bondage. It can be CBT. It can be, you know, I mean, humiliation, sissification. Think of any of the kinds of play that you do. Any of the kinds of play that you do. You can have tease and denial be a component of that.
How do you tease and deny a pain slut?
Well, you tease them with pain and then you don't give it to them. You know, you go up to Sub Girl and pretend I'm going to slap her face and I don't. You know? And she's like, oh. Not that, I mean, she's not mine to do that with, but that kind of thing, you know, okay. Where, you know, or worse yet, you beat somebody else in front of a pain slut.
Oh, that's sad.
And be like, no, you know, it depends. Or then, you know, you look at them and say, is that what you want? Or, you know, it depends on how you play with them and the relationship with them and who they are. Like I said, it's very person specific.
Mm-hmm.
Or you give them a sensation instead of pain.
Hmm.
Temperature play. I like a temperature play.
I like it when you bite stuff. Sorry.
There's a, I know a, well, she's, I guess she's a pro because she's paid, so she must be a pro. But she's specifically a chastity dom. That's what she does. And she's almost exclusively online or on the phone. And one of the things that she does with her clients is she does chastity with Viagra.
Shut the fuck up.
She makes them take Viagra and they're not allowed, like, they're not allowed to come. They're not allowed to stroke themselves. And that seems kind of cruel.
That sounds painful.
Whatever. Not my cock. I don't know. Does that make me a bad person?
No. Ish.
Ish. I like rituals. Like begging and worship, where you have to follow particular things in order to get to whatever the end result is. Either you have to, you know, go through, you know, mistress, may I please, if it pleases you, blah, 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 you know, on the hands and knees or on the knees or whatever is dictated in the particular ritual. Mm-hmm. It could be worship. It could be begging. It could be whatever. That to me is awesome because for an S and a D type, it really feeds into both components, especially if it's a humiliation S type, you know, you're being totally humiliated. You have to worship and beg in this particular, you know, checklist of things in order to get something, which is awesome.
Yeah.
On a
none of that
levels,
is bad.
Right?
None of that.
Right? Right? Let it go.
Warm and fuzzies.
Warm and fuzzies. We all have warm and fuzzies. For me, one of the things, I came up with this, like, chastity system with men because a lot of the people that I know, a lot of the men that have come and served me, they've been interested in chastity, but they didn't know a lot about it. They'd never done it. The concept of not waking every morning and masturbating was foreign to them. What? I'm not going to masturbate every day? And it's like, yes, you're the S type. Yeah, that's not yours anymore. That's mine. That's my orgasm. I get to decide when you have it. And I can decide if you're going to have it with me or away from me. That's my choice, not yours. And so, you know, the chastity training that I do is, number one, I start with 21 days. 21 days of chastity. They can be caged. They can be not caged. Doesn't matter.
sorry.
The reason being is I read a study a few years ago that someplace in Switzerland or in New Zealand, you know, it's terribly questionable location where the study was done. And it's probably totally unscientific. But I liked what it said, so I'm going with it. What it said is that a man's orgasm is at its peak, is at its most amazing from a physical standpoint and emotional standpoint after 21 days of chastity. 21 days of not coming means a man gets the most amazing orgasm. This is what they say. So I was like, let's try this out. Let's do this for everybody. I will give this gift to everybody. And all it takes, the only cost, is 3 weeks of not coming. That's it. That's nothing. Come on. Psh.
Uh-huh.
And so what I do is, you know, generally, like, the first 7 days is the hardest for any man because the testosterone levels are still at whatever they're normally at. And they actually peak on the seventh day. Testosterone levels go to 240-some-odd% above baseline of testosterone on the seventh day. This is actually something that athletes do. Male athletes will not come for the 7 days prior to, let's say, a big event, so that on that seventh day, they have that testosterone boost, which helps fuel their muscles and helps fuel their energy so that they can use that as, you know, a competitive edge, which okay. is not illegal. So there you go. I'm just like, this is like science and shit, people. But on the eighth day, it drops to like 140% below the previous testosterone baseline their seventh day. So they automatically have less testosterone in their system, which I don't know if you know a lot about it, but testosterone is responsible for a lot of aggression. So automatically, a chaste man is a little bit more docile. They're a little bit more compliant, a little bit more willing to listen, to shut the fuck up and listen. Maybe, unless they're married, and that's different. But anyway, so for the first 7 days, I'm usually very kind. You know, I'm always kind of helping them through it, and, you know, unless they really need a firm hand, and then I'm not kind at all. It all depends. But then after that, I'll generally say, okay, now you can cage it up. Go cage it up and see how it feels in the cage. You know, whatever cage you're using, CB6000, a metal cage, a curve, a Bond 4, whatever.
All of which are available online.
There's lots of them out there, and they're all fantastic for different people. Just trust me, different cocks work better with different cages. And get the right ring size, people. Just trust me, because you can pinch your scrotum and it'd be painful, even to a pain slut. Wow. Yeah, so that's all I'm saying. It's not something you can try on in return. Just saying.
Bring out that tape measure.
One of the reasons I like the CB6000 is that it has multiple ring sizes that are sent with it, so you can try it out. And yeah, it's going to be snug and uncomfortable, because if it's too big, it's going to end up falling off. So that's one of those FYIs on the cage thing.
Doesn't it get snug anyways?
You know what? The interesting thing about a cage is it really does prevent you from having an orgasm. It fights. It wants to. It fights against the cage. But you can't. I mean, from an erection, not an orgasm. You can't. I mean, you really can't get an erection in this thing. And it's fantastic. So apparently it's kind of painful if you get like a midnight erection.
Oh. The look of glee on your face.
Which I just really like, because it's awesome. Anyway, because I love that. You know, wake up in the morning and like, oh, it was so painful last night, mistress. That's awful. That's awful. I'm so sorry. No, I'm not. So then, you know, I have them do the 21 days. And at the conclusion of the 21 days, I usually let the orgasm be something special. You know, by my hand, whatever, you know, because that's like, hey, it's a gift. That's a nice thing to do.
Sure.
And then I have them do 7 days of whatever they want. Anything they want. I'm not involved. I'm not involved in anything to do with their orgasm. I don't want to hear about it. I don't want to talk about it. In fact, we're friends for 7 days.
Damn.
Just friends. I'm not the mistress. Do whatever you want. Live your life the way you would live if I weren't here. 7 days. And then 7 days of they masturbate 5 to 6 times a day. A day. Fuck. And that's really hard. I don't care if you have work. You go to the fucking bathroom and you do it. I don't care how old you are. You fucking do it. And then after that, we have a little post-mortem meeting.
A little powwow?
A little powwow. Which did you like most? Honestly, which did you like most? I'm giving you the fairest level of options. Chastity, nothing. Excess, or do your own thing. Which did you like the most? I have yet to have anyone choose anything other than chastity.
Wow.
But I'm not an unfair person. They can absolutely say, you know what, I like doing my own thing. All right, awesome. It was good to know you. Bye. I mean, you know, I'm not cruel. I can be. Some people might say 5 to 6 times a day is cruel. But yeah, I think that, and you know, so that's kind of my thing. I just gave away my system to everybody out there. Hello, world. That's my system. But it works. It works. You know, and throughout the time period, you know, of course, there can be edging during the 21 days of chastity, that kind of thing. The only time I actually have nothing to do with it is the 7 days in the middle. And literally, I have nothing. I can go for days without texting. It drives them crazy.
Yeah, I can imagine how that would happen.
Right?
Not hearing from your D-type. Yeah. It's some fucked up shit.
Right?
Okay. So I'm going to preface the following with I am in no way, shape, or form asking for myself, but how do you... Chastity with women. I mean, it looks pretty.
Chastity belt?
Yeah, those things look pretty, but I guess, I don't know.
Well, in all of my research for chastity belts for women, is it's difficult to find one that's as sanitary as the male ones. Mm-hmm. So I've never actually used a chastity belt with a woman because I don't know. You have to do it based upon trust and that, you know, mostly it's orgasm control, mm-hmm. you know, which can be chastity, I suppose, if you want to look at it like that way. If you know, also most women don't count how frequently they have orgasms like men do. Mm-hmm. We're not nearly as controlled by our cum as men are. Oh, that made me laugh. So it's one of those, be like, oh, you know, some people be like, oh, wow, God, I haven't masturbated in 4 days. Who knew? I guess I was busy. You know, where a man would be like, I'm going crazy. I haven't, you know, whatever. So he'll like whip it out in the car and start masturbating while he drives, which would be funny, which has happened. anyway, so for me, for a woman, it's definitely the orgasm control and the tease and denial is definitely more mental.
That's what I figured.
Yeah, it's about, and like, you really have to know the person. Like for you, if I really wanted to tease the fuck out of you, I would be like, I need you to tumble for 2 hours. Go on Tumblr for 2 hours, and then I need you to read an hour of erotica, of humiliation-based erotica. Or I would find something for you and send it to you and say, I need you to read this. Or I would write something for you and have you read it. Because that's where your head is. And that would be torture for you. Yeah. And then I would be like, okay, and then tonight you need to edge a little, or whatever it might be or might not be. Or, you know, I would have you come to my house and I would do certain awful, nasty things to you.
You don't say.
And not let you come. Or let you come, you know, it depends. Mm-hmm. So
maybe it'll be this week. Maybe it'll be next week. Kind of like that. Yes.
I told you, clean my bedroom.
Yeah.
And then we can have a sleepover.
Shut up.
We can have a kinky sleepover.
You can't tease and deny with that, okay?
Yes, I can.
I mean, you can, but I'm just saying, like, dang. Yeah, way to get a girl excited.
Right? People will be like, what? Clean the bedroom? That sucks.
You guys don't understand, man.
She loves that shit. It's awesome.
I like it when you have, like, because it's like the mistress chamber. Like, it's just, it's awesome. I want to make it fit for a fucking queen.
That's right. That's right. That's the way it should be.
Making me blush.
That's so easy to do. Blushity, blushy, blushy.
So you got a question, and then I've got the same question about inexperienced partners.
Okay.
And chastity. So,
okay. Do you want to go? Because I don't have an answer yet. I'm reading the question again.
Okay. Well, my take is this: is that if you're inexperienced with anything, and I'm sure you'll back me up on this, is that you want to gather as much information as possible. And you know, the internet is obviously a wealth of information, but because everybody can do this one thing a million different ways. So Mistress just described like what her system is, and that has worked really well with her and the people that she's done this with. But it may not work for you. So my take is go seek out all the information, and you know what? Trial and error, you know?
Unfortunately,
you know, what works for me may not work for you.
Right.
I mean, that's just how I feel about that. I mean, you know, obviously I, there are those safety components that I think should be consistent in every which way that anybody does anything. Like you just said, I mean, there has to be release eventually.
Well, okay. It won't kill you. Chastity won't kill you. I know some people think that it will. Some people think that it's going to be the end of their life, that if a man doesn't come, he will die. But that's not true. You're not going to die. I mean, if it's an issue, you can figure out how to do prostate milking, you know, but you're not going to die. You won't. Mm-hmm. Your levels of, you know, your body will accommodate to the level of testosterone with you. For anybody, no one's going to die without an orgasm. You know, 10% of the female population have never had an orgasm.
I believe
it's a very sad fact. Yeah, it's not the end of the world. So for me, if I'm talking to somebody who are both inexperienced partners and they want to kind of toy with this concept of chastity, start small, you know, start with a weekend of chastity. So, you know, it also depends on a person's particular, you know, masturbatory habits. If they start with their masturbation on a daily basis or multiple times within a day, then, you know, you might want to start out a little slow and give them, like, let's try 2 days and checking in frequently. If they are one of those where it's like, you know, well, I can masturbate. I don't know. No big deal. Then you might want to, you know, okay, let's try with 4 days. Let's try with 7 days. Let's try, you know, whatever it is you want to start with. But the biggest thing is staying in constant communication, because if there's something that's seriously off physically, then you need to be aware of that. I agree wholeheartedly about researching as much as you can. And there's a lot of information on the internet about chastity, and everybody has a different opinion, but, you know, you'll figure out what's right for you and your partner. Mm-hmm. Not everybody's the same. And some people just can't do it. Some people just can't do chastity at all, ever.
And I think this is one of those things where...
Unless they're married.
I think this is one of those things where there's no one true way.
No. Well, there's no one true way in almost anything.
For anything. But this is up there, definitely.
Right. Except for maybe in suspension.
well, yeah, there's that.
But it's not even one true way, but there's, you know, there's... Let's not.
Yeah, no.
Lose feeling in limbs.
Let's not.
But yeah, no. And that's the thing about this, is there isn't any one true way, and it really has everything to do with the partners that are involved, and you have to ensure that you have really, really open communication, and that the two people are being as honest as they possibly can, without being dramaful. You know, I don't have whoever's in chastity be like, oh my God, it's the worst thing ever, I'm dying. You know, I mean, if you want to have safe words, then fine, have safe words. And maybe come up with slightly different safe words for chastity than you would for actual play, because you're trying to figure it out where, you know, are you just being a drama queen, or is this like actually a big deal? You know, Copenhagen is a great safe word, because who the fuck is going to say Copenhagen unless you're in Denmark or you're chewing snuff or whatever that shit is. So, and we're in Southern California, so that shit doesn't happen here. But, you know, my point is that trying to be as open and as honest as you can with your partner is only going to benefit it. The thing that I find to be most true about chastity is it's about a service somebody can provide for somebody else. And it seems like it's an odd statement to say.
Yeah. Very, very strange.
The service is that they are withholding their orgasm as a service to somebody else, because that is a gift. And that really is a gift that they can... that is probably more intimate than some other types of things, because, you know, especially for, you know, people who value their orgasms so highly and want to have them so frequently. Like, for example, me. If I were to tell somebody that I'm not going to orgasm or whatever because of them, or I won't do it without them, then that is a huge, like, statement. It's a huge gift.
Oh, yeah.
So that's the essential thing, that when a person of chastity gives that to somebody, that's a gift. And that's putting a great deal of power in the top's hands.
You guys, Mistress has like the sex drive of like, I don't know how many like ravenous teenagers combined.
Shut up. Don't tell people. Anyway, so it's one of those things where if they, the dominant enjoys having that control, I enjoy having that control over somebody. That's part of the dominance within me, where I enjoy that. Mm-hmm. And a submissive enjoys giving control away. So that's kind of like an ultimate thing that they can give. So for me, it's definitely a type of service. That's how I define it.
That's beautiful.
It is. I'm being poetic.
About orgasm control. Yeah.
About orgasm control.
So
there's also, I love marathon orgasms, marathons. I had a female submissive one time where, you know, she had a day off, and she's like, you know, what do you want me to do? I was like, I would like you to orgasm as much as you possibly can today. I want you to stay in bed all day, you and whatever you want. You can use your Hitachi, you can use your hand, you can use a rabbit vibrator, you can use, you know, a dildo and the Hitachi, a dildo and your hand, whatever you want to do. Have fun. You need to orgasm as many times as you possibly can within the next 24 hours.
Shit.
And she was so numb. She was like, ow, ow. I think she ended up getting to like 26.
Wow.
Yeah, it was pretty impressive. But I mean, she really put her time and effort in. She's like, I need to take a break because my clit is numb now. And I'm like, I get that. You need to not use the Hitachi then.
Not familiar with that.
Right, because that Hitachi, that's a fucking train on your clit.
That will fuck your shit up.
Yes, it will. It is no joke. this is a true statement. But that's always fun, you know, kind of getting them to, you know, and it's exhausting. I couldn't, well, no, okay, I've done that for myself personally. It's exhausting to do that much masturbation. What?
Nothing. You told me to shut up, so I'm going to shut up.
Home and bored. What am I supposed to do?
Because now I'm thinking about you masturbating.
Yes, but with which thing? I also like telling people to masturbate in inopportune locations and times.
Yeah, there's the good old do it while you're at work.
Yeah. I like note cards. I like little note cards that I like mail to people. I used to mail you note cards.
Mm, oh, I missed that.
And I did note cards with tasks and assignments.
Mm-hmm.
And I like to, I've done this before where I did a note card and there's a particular color. Like you had whatever color I had given you and then another one had a color I had given him and whatever. So whatever the color was, I would have it waiting on where they're supposed to be sitting for dinner when we go out. Or whatever, and so slide it over, and they would be like, and all of a sudden there's a Pavlovian response to the color of the card.
Sure.
Because you've accustomed to the fact that there's some sort of a task that's going to be associated with the card, and sometimes they're good tasks, and sometimes they're bad tasks. You just never know. It's just a color, you know, it's just a yellow, or a blue, or a green, or whatever it is. And then they would open it and be like, okay, and then the task would say, you need to go to the restroom and masturbate right now. And then I'd be like, I've already ordered wine, so I'm good. I'm going to have an appetizer while I wait. And you go do that, and I'm just going to hang out here. That's fun.
I like it when you get all excited like that.
It's fun.
And what, when you see that going on, like for instance, like that particular situation, like what happens for you as being the controller of the orgasm, the controller of everything that is?
I get that evil smirk.
Mm-hmm.
You know, okay. That's what I get. I get that evil smirk. It's like, mm-hmm, have fun right here. Yeah. Which, you know, for you, you love that look, you know, so it ends up it's everybody wins.
I want that all the time.
It's win, 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 win. I want that all the time. You're so bad.
Mm-hmm.
You do. I'm trying to think of anything else I have to say. Ooh, cum eating. I love cum eating. I mean, not me, but like making a guy eat his own cum.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's kind of humiliating.
Isn't it, though?
Yeah.
Yeah. I hear somebody has a video of him hanging upside down and masturbating and coming into his face directly.
That's crazy, and isn't I that? Want to watch it.
Right? I heard that. I'm like, want. Where is this? I must see this. I want this so bad.
Or we can recreate it. What?
I like that, too. I like that too.
Live porn party.
Such fun.
Right.
That sounds like fun to me personally. People who need people.
But I think, you know, also one of the, I mean, Tease and Denial is fantastic and all, but I think that, you know, what a necessary component of it, just as with things like humiliation, which is so great. You need to know someone really well.
Yeah.
I don't think this is something where, you know, like a pickup scene, like, I mean, yeah, I guess it could go okay,
it
but,
could.
But if, you know, knowing someone well, I think that that's very key in getting the job done.
Well, here's the thing. Oh, we have a caller. While we're waiting for the caller, here's the thing about any kind of teasing and tease and denial. Absolutely. You could stick with the physical and you could tease somebody on the physical plane. But the truth of the matter is the brain is like the best sex organ we all have. And if you can use that, then it'll be a more effective scene.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Hello, caller. Welcome to Love Bite.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm well, and you?
Fantastic. What do you have to say?
Who would keep a video like that around?
I don't know. Perhaps you might know this person.
Perhaps I'm there.
I think you do. Do you have anything to contribute other than the fact that you have a video of this?
It was pretty interesting taken, and it was pretty humiliating.
Oh, so would you be interested in recreating such video for Mistress's amusement? I'm just putting that out there.
Sure, I would.
So eager.
I want to be there. I want to be there live and then watch the recording
but
of
there's
it.
There's penis involved.
But then humiliation trumps penis.
Oh, is that the case?
I've realized this.
So a man masturbating and coming directly in his face is more, is like a higher turn on than a turn off, that the fact that he's masturbating with a cock.
Well, I think, it'll be fascinating. I think it's just like, wow, that just happened. Oh my God. Let's do a fucking play-by-play. Can we have that slow-mo? Like, I want to, like, do commentary to that.
I'm totally going to ask my neighbor to use his high-def camera.
That's just wrong.
That's right.
When you've got a D-type, like I have a D-type, you would give up your asshole and shit through your ribs. If she wants it, you'd do it.
That just sounds really unpleasant.
No, see, you think that sounds, but I can relate to that. You,
all right.
Yeah.
There's no end. She wants it, she gets it.
Yeah. All right.
If that's not the case, then you don't have a D-type.
And then you hate yourself for not delivering, yes?
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. See?
You either have a D-type or you have McDomina. I have a D-type.
McDomina.
I love that.
None of that, man. No way, Jose. No happy meal here.
I'm going to embroider that.
You either have a D-type or you have McDomina.
Yep.
It's totally embroidered.
That's beautiful. Well, ladies, have a great day.
Thank you.
You too. Thanks for the call, hon.
Bye.
That's funny. He and I have talked about McDonough before, and I'm like, what? Like, I'd never heard that expression. Of course, now I see it everywhere. I was like, wow, where have I been that I didn't notice this fucking term? But it's a thing. Or as Gypsy would say, it's a situation.
It's a situation, yeah.
Wow.
What?
I don't know. That's big, you know, when, as a D-type, when you hear S-types say that they would do something just over the top crazy because the D type wants it.
Yeah.
It puts a lot of pressure on me to not abuse it, to, I have to keep myself in check. When there's somebody who's with me, it's like, I'd try anything for you. You know, there's a part of me that goes, oh my God, I can go to the deepest, darkest, most terrifying places that I can imagine, which is pretty motherfucking terrifying. But then there's a part of me that goes, whoa, no. Let's reel that shit in. Let's be responsible in what we do. And I need to, I put the limits on myself in order to make sure that everybody is sane.
Sure.
Because at that point, you're just not totally sane that you agree to this shit. It means you're not sane.
Well, okay. But... I'm not denying that. But there's something to be said for that evil smirk, that like glimmer in your eye, that like that smile where it's a slight smile. It's not like, you know, cheesy or anything, but it's just like it's contentment. And to know that maybe you aren't the cause of it and maybe you aren't really like the direct source of it, but as an S-type, to know that you contributed to that, it's like the best feeling ever. It's, you know, it's not just about, it's a lot of different things. You know, it's about feeling like you truly submitted and that you were of use and that you made a sacrifice and that it did this. This is what happened. I think that a lot of times, because there's been times where like, when was it? I don't know. It was a while ago. We had to cancel plans for some crazy reason and it kind of made me upset because I was really looking forward to it. And rather than to just see like me being upset as like me just being upset, it's, was being of service, taking a hit for the team so that things would work out for you.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
You were upset.
Yeah. And so like...
You did your very best not to pout.
I really, really did. But so I can understand that. I can understand jumping through hoops and not even questioning why, just because it makes you happy and because we know each other well enough that I don't need to ask why.
Unrelated now. I'm imagining hula hoops and you jumping through them.
But you know what I'm saying? Like
the poodle haircut.
Oh, shit.
Yipping like a poodle. Yes, I like this plan.
Oh, dear. Did you get what I'm saying?
I get what you're saying.
And that like good girl at the end? Fuck, man. That's like the fucking cherry on top of like an ice cream sundae.
Lactose-free ice cream sundae.
Shut up. You're ruining my fucking fantasies.
I'm feeding to
ruining
it. I'm
my allow, my fantasy.
I'm allowing you to have an ice cream sundae, but it can't have lactose. Because at the end, it's not going to work out for
That's
you.
That's just, you know what? You are crossing the threshold into something else that I don't even want to go there because that's a fucking hard limit.
Ew. Gross. All right, let's not talk about that anymore. I'm not going to discuss little Nancy's lactose issues.
How do you prepare someone for chastity? I know that you have like your system, but like, is that something that you bring up or do you wait for the other person to bring it up?
Usually me, because I like it.
Is that a deal breaker?
I don't think anything's a deal breaker for me. Well, maybe humiliation is a deal breaker because I can't not do it. It's pathological. I'm a pathological humiliator. So
you humiliate everybody,
right? I do literally everybody. So it's for me. That's the challenge. No, it's not a deal breaker. I don't think anything is because this world is so big and so huge. You know, because I can do the opposite. I can do forced orgasms over and over and over again, which people will beg to stop. Mm-hmm. So, you know.
Yeah.
I don't have to do chastity. It's fun. But orgasm control for me is that's a deal breaker. I mean, it's not necessarily about chastity, but it's about you have to request permission. You have to request permission before you touch yourself. You have to request permission before, you know, technically you have to request permission before you start reading erotica. And tumbling.
I didn't know that.
Uh-huh. Because that's actually stimulating your number one sexual organ. So, yeah. Yeah.
And don't forget the pillow.
Yeah,
because sometimes...
Oh, that's right. You humped the pillow. You almost came humping the pillow.
I did. Okay.
Pillow humper.
I'm sorry. I will no longer tumble without permission.
Yeah, just ask. I don't care.
I don't.
Normally, I don't care. I sometimes I say no, and it depends. There's always a reason. There's always a reason behind my yeses or no's. There's always a reason behind my no's. If I don't have a reason to say no, I'll say yes.
And sometimes it seems
from your perspective.
From my perspective, sometimes it seems as if though there is no reason for it.
I understand that's what you think.
I know, but I'm saying like why? Because there are just that how there are times where I can see that there's a reason behind it. There's other times where I don't see it.
I know.
And so I guess my question then is that done on purpose?
I don't hide anything. You know, sometimes it's better for you not to know. Sometimes it isn't. It just depends. I always say, if you're curious and you want to understand why, I'll tell you.
Okay.
Unless I don't.
Okay.
You know. But usually I'm pretty open.
Mm-hmm.
I don't hide a lot.
That's true.
So, you know, there's that.
You're not a secret keeper.
I am, but I keep other people's secrets.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
In the lockbox.
I love you. What?
I love you too. See, I didn't even have to be all passive about it.
Shut up!
I didn't have to whisper it. I said it.
I didn't whisper it. It was just like, what happened? Diarrhea of the mouth? What?
You were mumbling it.
I was.
Who mumbles that?
I don't know. I don't know.
Pain hurts right here. I'm an owie. Right
Hey, we have a date this week.
That's right. We do have a date this week.
Yeah.
We do. I don't know when.
I don't know. You pick the day. But it'll be fantastic. And we're going to go on a picnic. It'll be an outdoor thing. And everybody on the Twitter was like, of course. See, everybody was like, so yeah, it's totally going to be like naughty and stuff. And then you were like totally in the dark. How is this going to be naughty? I don't understand that. How do you not really? Because think outdoors, think like sex on a fucking picnic blanket kind of thing.
Okay. Seriously, you asked me on a date. And I'm like, is this like a vanilla date? I was like, I don't know how that works. You tell me how that works. What am I supposed to do now? I don't know. I'll just follow. Which is like not my thing.
No, exactly. Which is why I was like, really?
So I was just like, I'm just whatever. I was asked on a date, so I'm just going to go. And that's it. Whereas, you know, because it's vanilla, so it kind of goes into a different world. And then if it's not vanilla, it's like, oh, well, sure, we're going to do this. I'll bring this and this and this and this. And this will happen and that will happen. And we have to make sure that we go to where there's a tree and there's no ants and blah, blah, blah. All of these things would go into my head if it's me planning the date. But it's not me planning the date. So I just have to be like, okay, I'm just going to show up.
I don't want to plan it. I just wanted to say, let's do this. And then there you go.
So you want me to plan the date now? You wanted to ask me to plan a date for us, picnic date.
Because I really wanted to go out on a date with you, but I didn't know how to make it happen. So that way, like, you'd plan it because you make awesome picnic baskets. What?
What? Now I have to make the picnic basket too?
No, I'll do that.
What the fuck?
No, I'll do the picnic basket.
No, because I don't want to eat mac and cheese.
I was going to do something special.
Okay.
Like sandwiches and stuff.
Like sandwiches. Sandwiches are so special.
You're just an asshole.
I am an asshole. I'm a total asshole.
Fine. You can do the picnic basket too.
Oh, now I have to do the picnic basket too? God.
I can't say shit.
You provide the beverages. I'll provide the food.
Okay.
And I'm planning everything else now?
I'm sorry.
Okay. This takes reconnaissance.
I know.
It's okay.
We don't have to do it this week.
I don't have a problem with it.
I know.
It means it's going to be near my house.
I know. But
be hot.
Sometimes I just want to do stuff and I don't know how to tell you we should do this. Like, I don't know how to be like, hey, wouldn't it be an awesome idea to go have a picnic together? As opposed to me just saying, hey, let's go have a picnic together.
Either of those are fine. I prefer the first one. Okay. Just so you know. Okay. Doesn't matter. I'm not going to be like, no. Because it's not like we don't hang out all the fucking time.
This is true.
I mean, all the goddamn time we're together. Mm-hmm. So what is, if we're together out with a picnic, then that's fine. I just need to know. And I need to know the parameters around it. Because for me, if it was a vanilla date, like I said, oh, okay. I mean, I can vanilla date at all left and right. It's no problem. I show up and provide engaging conversation. That's my role in a vanilla date.
Okay. So we're keeping this vanilla.
No, because we're not. I want to slap you.
Don't. I'm just confused now.
We'll talk about this in detail later because I'm confused too. Maybe somebody on Twitter will explain it to us because I don't fucking understand. I'm fucking lost.
I just want together time. As long as we're together.
What does that do? Always together.
I didn't even let me finish. As long as we're together and there's a picnic basket involved, then I'm okay. You have a picnic on your fucking living room floor. We can do that too.
I have a picnic on my living room floor. That seems like a bad place to have a picnic.
Oh, goodness.
We should go to the beach. Picnic on the beach.
Okay. I should.
That means I can't tie you to a tree.
And it means that I will get sunburned. Have you seen my skin lately? I'm like.
Have you seen mine? I'm losing my tan. I need to get to the beach and get a tan.
Okay, so we'll go and we'll just take a huge umbrella.
How am I dating the whitest Mexican on the planet?
We've gone over this, okay? Sometimes I'm a bit of a Mexicant, okay?
You are a Mexicant. Anyway, we're out of time now, and I don't know what the fuck happened at the end of the episode. It turned into a big what the fuck at that point, which is weird, but whatever. We don't know what we're doing next week. We don't know what we're doing ever.
No.
We never, ever know what we're doing.
No, but I sure as fuck want to have another Kinkapalooza at some point.
Oh, God, do I ever.
I feel like we should do it, like, every month.
I want to do a big shout-out to Black Hat Lee.
Yeah.
And to Strict and Stern on Twitter, who both said amazing things about us and about our show. And it touched us very, very deeply.
And, you know, I mean, throughout the week, we've received numerous comments from different people.
Yeah.
Those were the most recent.
Please comment on the iTunes because it helps us. It makes us look cooler in the iTunes verse. So.
And then they like us more. And
we're officially out of time because we just talked too much about the motherfucking picnic.
Sorry.
So next week, who knows? More picnics? I don't know.
Some new music, tune into Piñata Hour every Wednesday from 7 to 9 p.m. Pacific time on SteroidStudios.com.
I've had some really freakish sex with some chicks, and you know, the freakier it is, the more often, almost invariably, you'll find out afterwards, if you talk to them long enough, that they have some weird sexual abuse in their past, they were fucking touched inappropriately or something, and that always comes out. Like, all the stripper sex that you have, they're the best fucks in the world. They're all over the place, and anything goes, but then, you know, where it's happened often enough that it's almost subliminally something I look for in a woman now. You hear a chick at the bar saying she was diddled.